Starting a new sugya now on Mem Dalid Amud Beis 44b. It's 11 lines before the wide lines. 11 line, first word on the line, 44b. Okay, first word on the line, 11 lines before the wide lines. The last discussion we talked about was a Nara. Could she make a Shliach or not? Now our attention focuses to a Ketana. Okay. There was a discussion. Could a Nara accept a Kedushin independently of her father? We're going to now discuss if a minor, a Ketana, accepts a Kedushin independently of her father. And we'll see, we're going to have to learn the case is a very specific kind of a case. So the Gemara brings now, Itmar, it was stated the following. Kitana sheniskatsha shelo ledas aviha. A girl who's under 12, a minor, she accepts a kedushin from a man by herself. Her father had nothing to do with it. He was not aware of it when she did it. Okay, so man goes over to the young girl, gives her a kedushin, and she accepts the kedushin. All right, now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, if this happens, tzricha get, v'tzricha meyun. She needs two things in order to be able to marry another man one day. And we have to explain this in great detail. She needs a get, and she needs something that is called miyun. And we'll explain that in a second. A get, obviously, is simple to understand. She needs a get. What's miyun? Miyun means there are certain circumstances, such as when a father is not alive. So this kitana, there has to be some means of her to get married. Now, she cannot be, as they say, biblically married. The only way she can biblically be married is if her father gives the ketana. Now, talking about a ketana, is when the father accepts the kedushin for her. That's what the Bible says. Look in the Torah. The only way a ketana gets married is if her father accepts the kedushin for her. However, there are circumstances in when the girl does get married without the father, which we'll elaborate on. And that is really a rabbinic type of marriage. It's not a biblical marriage. And therefore, no get is required for that, because she's not biblically married. Rather, something that's called a meyun is required. Meyun. And meyun is where the girl says, you know what, I never really wanted to be married to you. And that basically annuls the marriage, as it were. Now, here we have it here. Meyun is the process by which an orphaned minor becomes released from a marriage that was contracted by her mother or by her brothers. Under biblical law, a minor's father is the only person who may accept kedushin on her behalf, and if he does so, a full-fledged get is necessary to terminate the marriage. The rabbis decreed, however, that if the father is no longer alive, the minor's mother or brothers may accept kedushin for her, whereupon she enters into a rabbinically, but not biblically recognized state of betrothal. In addition to this, the rabbis also read that a marriage brought about by the minor's mother or brothers could be terminated by the mere refusal of the minor to remain married to her husband. How does she do this? A minor carries out miyun by simply declaring that she no longer desires to be married to her husband. It should be noted that the device of miyun is only effective as a means of dissolving the rabbinically recognized marriage described above. A biblically recognized marriage, such as contracted by the minor's father, requires an actual bill of divorce to terminate it. Okay, in other words, so since she was never really biblically married when the mother or brothers married her off, so therefore she is capable of just saying, I don't want to be married to him anymore. Finished. That's how it works. Now, now, of course, we have to explain something. Like, how's this going to work? We already explained that a girl that only was a discussion if a nara, it's a machlokas, if a nara could accept a kedushin. So how do we come over here that the katana accepted a kedushin? We're dealing with it and we're saying we need a get, we need a mean, whatever that means. So what's going on this? So that's what this note on the top here says. Despite this question, however, Shmuel rules that when a minor accepts kedushin without her father's knowledge, we do not treat this act as had no legal significance. Rather, we require that the minor receive a bill of divorce and perform miyum before she may marry another man. Now, the Gemara later explains that Shmuel imposes these requirements because, now, I don't know why, when I learned it, the commentaries that I was looking at said the following, that when the father hears about it, you have to add in the case, she took a kedushin, when the father hears about it, he's silent. Okay? Now, in other words, if the father really didn't want her married, he would have been screaming, yelling, what did you do? I didn't want this. Right? So now, since he's silent, there raises some issues over here. Maybe
He's alive.
Let's say if you were a father and you found out your 10-year-old daughter got a kedushin from a man.
That's not legal. Okay.
Well, now what would you do? If you'd start screaming and said, it's not legal, I don't want this, we told you to do this, blah, 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 then clearly she's not married. Because the father is going against it. But here the case is the father heard about it was silent about it.
Tacit consent.
So then the question is, how much legal bearing does that have? And that's what he's going to say. As we'll see, the Gemara later explains that Shmuel imposed these requirements because it's possible that the father will give his consent to the kedushin once he hears of it, in which case the kedushin would be valid. We'll explain this in greater detail shortly. But anyway, so that's the, but Stamazoi, you know, we wouldn't necessarily accept what she's
because
doing.
The father isn't alive, it's nothing.
Well, you know, we're going to have to discuss, there's more cases, you know, there are possibilities where she can't get a kedushin. Let's say, for example, if the father, let's say the father married her off and then the father died, or then she got legally divorced, then she's out of the father's domain to a certain degree. But be that as it may, right now we're speaking where the father's alive, the father didn't say anything. So now it could be he's agreeable to it, could be he's not agreeable, it's a suffix. Really, as we'll see shortly, it's a suffix. We don't know if it's a kedushin. Since the father was quiet, since we don't know, so on the one end we're going to say a get has to be given in case it was a real marriage. Why the mayun is a whole other discussion that we still have to talk about. Yeah.
Are there any repercussions to the man who knew the father's alive and yet he went directly to the minor and gave her a kedushin? Is there no repercussions for him at all? I mean, he's allowed to do that? Can he do
Listen,
that?
Listen, they say you can never fault a man for trying.
Oh my goodness. But that's a biblical law. It's not like it's something, you know.
Listen, you know what? If people did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have a lot of halacha. You know, why does a doctor have to go to school for so many years? Not to learn what to do, but to learn what to do when things go wrong. You think you have to spend more time learning what to do when things go wrong than when things go right. So the same thing here, a lot of halacha has been when people don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, the rabbis, in general,
it's totally forbidden by biblical law.
We did not say it's forbidden. Nowhere in the Torah does say it's forbidden.
Biblically,
the Torah says the father accepts the kedushin for the girl. That's what it says. So it could say if a girl takes it, it's just ineffective. Can only forbid things if God says thou shalt not. If no one Torah is going to say thou shalt not receive a kedushin if you're a katana. The Torah is saying what are the legal ways of getting things done. Legally, a father accepts a kedushin for a daughter. We can't say it's forbidden. We could say that what she does is useless. That you could say. So listen, guy tries. Listen, sometimes you have some very young girls who are very tall and look very old. You know, you have certain girls that they're 10 years old, but they're 5'6". So they look like they're 15. So the guy goes over and thinks she's 15 and goes and marries her. Finish. That's not unusual. So then the father says, sorry, you know, you didn't realize she's only 10 years old. Or the father says, you know, good, get rid of her. He said, I won't say anything. So we'll see. It's a discussion. It's a debate. Does this work or not? Clearly, if the father says, I don't want it, then for sure it's nothing. Because now the father is the principal player. He said he doesn't want it. What if a man goes to a father and says, I want to marry your daughter? The guy says, no. Here's the kedusha. No, I don't want it. Well, that's his prerogative. So if the father would say, I don't want it, right away when he hears about it, then for sure it's nothing. Nothing's happened at all. Question here is, the father's quiet, or we don't know yet know what his reaction is. Question is, how could this ketana marry someone else? Because in other words, is there some doubt? If there's some doubt, the question is, maybe she is married to this fellow. Yeah?
I'm trying to remember, if we said the father doesn't say anything until he consented.
That's by vows.
No.
But here, he didn't say anything. So the question is, we're not sure what his position on the matter is.
What did we say for regular Amrana? Not her.
It's a machlokes.
If she doesn't say anything. Yeah.
No.
I don't. Where are you with this? Whatever, and she doesn't say anything.
She doesn't have to say anything. If a woman doesn't, if she received, she took it. If you take it, that's agreement.
So he knows she took the kedusha, but he didn't say anything.
But she's we're not sure why he didn't say anything yet. We don't know. Sometimes, you know, fathers stew over things a little bit. Or whatever. You know, or let's say we have not yet heard his response. That's the way these commentaries are looking at. Here's the issue, like this. What happens if on Sunday, you know, Mr. A gives a kedusha to this young girl, B, okay? And then the father doesn't find out about it yet, okay? Then Mr. B, another guy all of a sudden, has intimate relationships with this girl. Okay, will he be killed or not? That's the point. That's the question. Because now, is there any legal bearing to the marriage? So if, let's say, fellow A gives a kedushin to this little girl and the father says, I don't want the kedushin to work. And then B goes and lives with the girl, he doesn't get that kind of punishment because she wasn't a married woman. Question is she have any type of technical marriage at all? That's the question here. Since the father was silent, alright, and the silence, you know, could maybe say he agreed. And if he maybe agreed, then maybe it's a real kedusha. Alright, so that's the issue. Now the mayun is the real difficult part. Why in the world are you going to need a mayun? Mayun is when, you know, we've explained, mayun is when the girl's mother or brother married her off. Well, I don't see any of that over here. Why would you need a mayun? I understand why you need a get. You need a get. Maybe she's married. So because of a suffix, give a get, and let's take care of it. What do we need the meaning for? That Gemara is going to discuss in a moment with Karna's question. Anyway, that's Shmuel. Shmuel says she needs both. Comes along Karna. Amar Karna. Dvarim Agav. There's something problematic in this statement that you just said, Shmuel. Im get, if you really need a get, then lama miyun. What do you need miyun for? Get is something that happens for a biblical marriage. If we're in doubt. Okay, you're in doubt? Fine. Maybe she's biblically married. Give her a get. What's the other option? Maybe she's not. If she's not, you don't need anything. You don't need anything. Right? What are you going to say? Maybe she's rabbinically married because she said, I want to get married. But that doesn't work when the father's alive. When the father's alive, there's never miyun. It's only possible miyun if the father's dead. But the whole issue...
Then you don't need a divorce.
But you're not sure. Yeah. But I'm saying, even if you want to say that she's not biblically married, maybe you'd want to say she's rabbinically married. Right? But to be rabbinically married, it only works when the father's not alive.
And miyun would be enough by itself.
That's fine. That's not a question because we're not sure. So what do you want to say? Maybe she's biblically married, maybe she's rabbinically married? So if she's biblically married, she needs a get. If she's rabbinically married, she's a miyun. But wait a minute, how can she be rabbinically married, A, if the father's alive, B, if you give her a get, that would seem to be... Why would you need both? And the reverse, imiyun, if she's giving a miyun, Meaning to say there was only a rabbinic type of marriage. Lama get, what do you need a get for? As noted above, Miyun terminates the rabbinically recognized marriage of an orphan minor. The divorce of her terminates all types of marriages. These two processes are suited to different types of situations, and it's inconceivable that one situation should call for both of them. Right, so what's going on over here? So that was Karna's question on Shmuel. So what did they say to Karna? Amrele, the other scholars, replied to Karna's question. Says, you know what? You want to find an answer? There's a big rabbi we can go to. Ha Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva was a great rabbinic authority. Ube Dina and his Besdin is in the city of Kafri. It's not too far away. We'll go to him. And we'll ask him what he thinks about it. Right? Let's go, you know. Since, now the problem is, Shmuel lived far away. Okay, Shmuel, in other words, there's a statement that we're learning in the yeshiva. In, where Karna was learning, they said over in the name of Shmuel, that in this scenario you need a get and a miyun. And Karna said, that's ridiculous. So now what would you normally do? You'd go to Shmuel and say, Shmuel, can you clarify? But he lived in the Hardoi, very far away, couldn't go to Shmuel. So they said, listen, you don't like the opinion stated. So Karna, Mar Ukva doesn't live so far away. Him and his best not far away. We'll go ask him the question. We'll see if I will treat the answer.
Technical question. Is Mar his first name or that's our designation?
Mar is like Mister.
Huh?
It's Mister. Like Mister. Adon. Adoni.
Is that what it is?
Mar. Mar. Mister. Mar.
Okay.
Mar. Mar Ukva.
Okay.
Mar Ukva. Okay. So anyway, so why don't you do that? Now, it seems that in Mar Ukva's Besdin, Rav was over there too. Rav. Okay, and Rav was good friends with Shmuel. Gotta remember, this is all a discussion of trying to understand Shmuel's statement. Okay, so Shmuel made a statement. Mar Ukva said it's ridiculous.
No, Karna
said it's ridiculous. Yeah. They said, let's go to Mar Ukva. So you'd figure the honest way of presenting it to Mar Ukva's Yishbezdin was, listen, Rabbi, this is what we have over here. We have a statement of Shmuel, and we have Karna's thinking it's ridiculous. What? How do you weigh an issue? But the people who sent it wanted to make sure they got a totally non-biased answer at all. And we'll see over here, they sent it to Rav, who was over there, and they're going to reverse the names so Rav won't know what his good buddy's position really was. To test his, sometimes, you know, not that Chasom, any rabbi, is a liar, but, you know, if he feels his fellow sparring partner that he's enjoyed, says it, maybe he'll say, well, if he says that, it must be, carries a lot of weight.
What? That doesn't sound like Shmuel.
Hold on. So anyway, so Abhua, at the end, they didn't send it to Mar Ukva's yeshiva, they ended up sending it to Rav's yeshiva. I don't know why, but that's how it happened. So since they're going to send it to Rav, so they purposely reversed the names of who said what. Instead of saying Shmuel said you need to give both things, and Karna saying that doesn't make any sense, they reversed it. They said that Karna said it, and Shmuel said it doesn't make any sense. They sent it to Rav. See the note. They deliberately misinformed Rav about the attribution of the two views. According to their message, which was said not true, was Karna who stated a bill of divorce and miyun are required, while Shmuel had questioned the need for these procedures. The scholars transposed the views because they knew Rav to be a close friend of Shmuel and wished to see whether Rav would agree with Karna's rule if it were attributed to Shmuel. Now, of course, what's the issue? Look at the brackets. Rashash questions the notion that Rav's ruling on a legal matter would have been influenced by his friendship with Shmuel, a sense, especially since disputes in Rav and Shmuel are common throughout the Talmud. They are the normal sparring partners. Rashash further notes that Rashi elsewhere takes the word apchua to mean the two views were mistakenly transposed, not that they were purposely switched. So therefore, the Rashash has learned that they were mistakenly transposed. Anyway, that's a lot of, I'm sure good drushes can come out of this little piece. Anyway, so now they go to Rav, and I want to hear, well, okay, now, so remember, they said that Karna said you need both, and Shmuel said, that's ridiculous. So look what Rav answers. Amr Laho, Elokim, by God, like he mamash makes an oath. Tzricha get, v'tzricha miyun. She needs both. Now look at this. Wait, he's not done. V'chas lei, Lazara da Abba Bar Baba the name of Achi. And forbid, God forbid, that a child of Abba Bar Abba, meaning Shmuel, should ever have said otherwise. Wow. In other words, God forbid that Shmuel could be such an idiot to say that you didn't need both.
That was his friend, right?
I would turn an idiot.
Well, it didn't say idiot, but far be it. I can't believe that you're saying that Shmuel said this question. The logic is so off. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So even if it was intentionally meant, the honesty came out in a very clear way. He says, there's no way I'm going to disagree with what my friend Shmuel says, and there's no way that Shmuel said such a thing. Okay, listen, sometimes, you know, they want to sharpen up the rabbis a little bit, and you know what? There's always troublemakers in every place that want to test and say, you know, there could be somebody who was Breges and Rav and wanted to, you know, there could have been people from the Roman government who were informers and want to show, they're not such great people, the rabbis. You know, you have to understand that, you know, sometimes messages are sent, you don't know who's really sending it. You know, I mean, no, the great rabbi is the great rabbi. Then the Chaim Yankel, come here. You know, who are they going to send? I don't know how long it took. Maybe it took 3 hours to get there. You think a rabbi is going to spend 3 hours of his time walking there? Going to send a Sheikh Engel. So one of the Balabatim. Yeah, one of the Balabatim. So Balabatim, you can imagine the two Balabatim, Chevroman's going, you know, I don't know. I don't think these rabbis are such holy rabbis. You know, I think he's just buddies with him. You know, I'm going to test him. And that I would certainly believe. The people you're sending, you find lots of stories with the Sheikh Engels that they do what they want. So that I would hear very possibly, especially, you know, this is during the Roman government and there were enough enemies of the Jews, so it could have happened. So that I would attribute it more like that, because I don't, can you imagine if, let's say, Rav Moshe Feinstein had a big Shiloh and he needed to ask and go and say, Rav Moshe himself would travel through the forest for 3-4 hours to ask the Shiloh, anybody would be honored to be Rav Moshe's messenger. Here's the question, go over, get the answer, and come back. So I could hear that they're okay, so there's a fellow over there who wants to make shtick and see what's going on, and it provides it. Yeah. Question?
Yeah, I have a question. If we go back couple steps. If we say that a minor doesn't have the das to make consent or not,
right?
Then it's clear that the kedusha is not valid at all, and there should be no doubt she could be married at all.
Right, but the question is, the father heard about it, and he was quiet. So the Gemara is suggesting, is making an assumption here, that maybe later the Gemara will ask on it. Gemara's making an assumption that if a girl does it, the father, and you have the tacit approval of the father, there could be a kedusha.
But what I'm saying is, what she did is really nothing. And whether the father knows or not, until he accepts it.
So that's.
He has it, like the question I asked earlier, nobody's accepted it.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. But once the father does accept it, at what point will she be married?
Once he accepts it.
I don't know. Maybe from the time she got it.
It's retrospective.
Retroactive. But she did is nothing.
Well, but if it's subsequently followed up by the father's, because the father didn't take anything. The father just said, that's good. So, but he didn't take anything in his hand. So it would have to go retroactive to the time she took it in her hand. There was an action here. The man gave her a document, a ring. Question is, does it have any legal bearing? So maybe when the father later says, I'm agreeable to it, it retroactively is saying that, you know, what happened was fine. But there's a lot to discuss. You're asking good questions, and I wouldn't be surprised if Gomorrah later on is going to discuss it. But anyway, for whatever reason, Gomorrah feels that if the father would recognize it later, it's okay. Now again, some of the commentators learned that the father heard about it and was silent. You know? But you'll see, there's a lot more, it gets much more complicated. So your questions are good questions, but they'll get refined over the process of the Gemara's discussion, because there's going to be a big qualification coming soon. And that qualification will address some of your issues. So just hold on. But you're right, you're raising a good question, even though the Gemara doesn't ask it straight out. But you'll see by the way the Gemara's sidestepping things, that I'm sure your question is on their mind, and that's where they're saying certain things. So hang on to that. But let's get to the important part over here. Now we're saying this is for sure the halacha now, because you have Rav and Shmuel both saying this now. She needs to get an emir. Now the Gemara really wants to know, now that we know this is the halacha, let's have the logic. Okay, so you gotta listen carefully. The one side is easy. The second side, you just have to pay good attention. The time of my, so now let's, so what is the reason? Why, Taka, Karna asked the question. So how, what's the answer to the question? So Amar Ravacha, Breda Ravika. Ravacha, the son of Ravika, said the following. Sricha get, she needs a divorce. And a get, which always works only for legally Torah-bound marriages. Because Shema Nisratzahov, maybe the father was agreeable, Bikidush. So he needs it. As explained above, a minor's betrothal requires her father's consent to be valid. You have to have the father's valid. Thus, if the father is not present when the minor accepts Kiddushin, the validity of the Kiddushin will depend upon whether the father gives his consent when he hears about it. What if a father, what if a guy goes to the father and says, I want to marry your daughter? The father says, fine, go give her a ring. What would you say then, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what's the difference if the father says 5 minutes later, I'm happy you gave her the ring? So given this, it is clear that the father immediately voices displeasure when he hears of his daughter's betrothal. There's no question the Kiddushin is invalid. She would have no need for either a bill of divorce or a meeting since her acceptance of Kiddushin was legally meaningless. In our case, however, the father remained silent when he first heard of his daughter's decision, hence it's unclear whether he approved or disapproved of it. It was therefore considered the possibility the Kiddushin, the minor contracted, was indeed valid, for it's possible the father acquiesced her action. And therefore, she must receive a bill of divorce before she can marry someone else. Now, here I think is going to deal with your issue. The minor's power to transact Kiddushin. The Gemara here implies that if the father did acquiesce to the minor's betrothal, the Kiddushin she accepted would in fact be valid. There's a basic problem with this, as Shelley asked. However, for a minor's father is the only person with authority to accept Kiddushin for her, the girl herself does not. As such, even the father later consents to betrothal, the Kiddushin seemingly should not be valid since it was never accepted by someone with authority to do this. Various answers are provided to this question. We'll outline two of them. Whoa, baby. You sure you want to go that far, shall we? Well, maybe we'll... No, let's just leave it, okay? We'll leave it because we're not going to krichmeis from this. But it's a good question. That's why boys sit in yeshiva all day long and learn. Okay? So we'll leave it, recognize the question, and we'll go out. But let's try to understand. So we understand why you need to get, because maybe the father was agreeable, and somehow her taking the Kiddushin works through the father's agreement, and it's a biblically sanctioned marriage, and now to get out of it, you need a get, which is the only way to get out of it biblically. Now here's the tricky part now. So why would she need a miyun? Yeah. So even if you're going to assume that the father not, so tzricha miyun, she needs a miyun, because shebaloni tzratzav b'kiddushin. Maybe the father didn't want it.
Oh.
Maybe the father didn't want it. Okay, now let's think for a minute. So now, what would you say? So let's just give the get. In other words, it's either one or two ways. Either the father, there's only two possibilities. Either the father agreed, then the action is a kiddushin doraisa, and therefore you need a get doraisa. Or the father didn't agree, it was nothing, and you need nothing. Now, if you're trying to digest that, it's okay, so what do we do? Huh. So give the get, in case she got married, and you don't have to do anything else if there was nothing. Right? Well, there's a little problem here. A little problem over here is, now we got to go to another scenario and then plug it in here. Let's say a person marries a girl, and then he divorces. Now he turns to the girl's sister and gives her a marriage, marries her. Is he married to her or not?
To the sister.
To the sister.
Is she older or younger?
I don't care.
Oh, okay, I see.
You have 2 15-year-old girls,
I see, because
twin sisters.
Another divorce, what is she? Okay.
He married one sister legally and then divorced her legally.
Yeah.
Now he goes to the next sister and marries the sister whom he divorced.
It's not allowed.
It's not allowed. It's not allowed. You can't marry
unless
she dies.
That's right.
So now what will happen? So if he gives her Kiddushin, the second sister, and then another guy comes along right after he gave her the Kiddushin and lives with her.
Whoa.
That second guy, does he get punished or not?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Because the second Kiddushin was an invalid Kiddushin. Because since he gave a kedushin to a sister or someone he was already married to, it was an invalid kedushin.
Okay, from that point.
So the other guys just married with a girl who wasn't married.
Yeah.
So now you see what's going to happen here. What if this ketana over here? We said just give her a get, eh? Give her a get. Now what if this same guy will now marry her sister who's an adult? What are we going to think if she got a get? That the second kedushin is nothing. Now what if the other guy sleeps with her? It's okay. Right? So now, but you know what? Wait a minute. Maybe she really was never married, never was married to the first girl. And therefore the kedushin second woman is a valid kedushin. And now the guy who's sleeping with her would be punished by that. Whereas how, what would another guy rushing in? You know, you imagine you got this guy, let's say these two guys were eyeing this girl. Okay. Now this guy goes and marries this girl, figures, you know, I'm gonna get this girl, I'm gonna marry the younger sister first. He marries the younger sister, and then the father, you know, didn't say anything. So what do we do? And the girl, you know, and he wants to get out of that marriage, she goes and divorces her. Right? Now he wants to turn around and marry this woman. Well, now it depends. If he really needed a divorce from her, well then the second condition would work. But if he didn't need a divorce from her, the second condition does work. And now the other guy on the side is watching, say, well, I don't get it. If he divorced the first girl, the second marriage doesn't work. I can go marry this girl.
That's right.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Maybe the first girl did not need a divorce. That's the other side of the coin. And the second marriage is a good marriage. Now the second guy's gonna make a mistake. Do you know how we avoid the mistake? We tell that to get this first girl off, you gotta make a meyun. Meyun. I was gonna say, what the heck is going on over here? To say, you know what, because the get was a get given because of doubt. In other words, the meyun you don't need at all. But in order to avoid subsequent problems, because you're giving a get out of doubt, but not everybody's gonna know it was out of doubt. The second guy sees, he gave a get to her, he gave a kedushin to his sister. Well, I'm smart enough to know that the second kedushin is not valid, I can go marry her. But he doesn't know that the original get was given in doubt. So how could we make it that other people know that the original get was given in doubt? Because he has to do a get and she has to do a meal. And when, why in the world is she doing a meal? You know what? Because we're not sure if she really was divorced. Uh-oh, then you gotta be careful with the sister. If the original guy marries the second sister, you can't say right away it's not a kedushin. Not sure about it. Could be it is a kedushin for a second. So it comes up, the meyun is not really needed at all, but it's there to send warning signals that if anybody wants to marry the sister who got a kedushin from the original guy, to stay away because it's a doubtful situation. And that's the problem. So you need a miyun. Shemaloni tzratzov kedushin. Because maybe the father doesn't like the kedushin. So he doesn't need anything. But if you don't need anything, the yomru, and people will mistakenly say, right, people seeing she does get a divorce, what are people seeing on the street? Did she get a divorce? Yes. So now we're going to see that first man who made her marry her sister, what are they going to think? It's not a good kedushin, right? The Yomer are going to say, on the second kedushin to the sister, ain't kedushin dosim bachosa. They didn't marry, and now the second marriage didn't work, and the stranger could marry the second sister. But the truth is, you're going to suffek yisur doraisa. Because it could be the first marriage was not a marriage, and the second marriage is a marriage, and you can't be marrying a married woman. So therefore, we do the meyun. You do the miyun, so it sends warning signs. You know what? The miyun really, in and of itself, is nothing. You don't need it. You're just doing it to tell people that, you know that get you saw? It's a doubtful get. There's no other way. You know, another way, you have to see an action. You saw a get was given, that was an action. We hear the girl says, I'm doing miyun, I don't want to be with you. Now anybody else watching understands that get that was given was a doubtful get. And therefore we don't assume she says divorced regular. Maybe she never needed to be divorced. And therefore if the man marries the sister, maybe he is married to the sister, maybe not. But I gotta stay away from her. Okay.
So what happens to him? Is he married to the sister or not?
What do you think? What do you think? If he married her, he'd have to give her a divorce, Mitam Sofik.
No, but if we
say, is the man married to the second sister, you're asking?
Yeah, because we did.
The question is, we don't know, it's a suffix, and therefore he'll have to divorce her.
So he can't marry her.
He can't marry her.
He can't stay married if he did.
He can't, because it's a doubt. But until he gets around to doing it, another guy can jump in and think, that's nothing to begin with.
But a mi'un would clear that up. I mean, not clear
it that's
up.
That's a mi'un clears it up.
That's right.
It doesn't clear up a doubt or anything.
But it says, it tells everybody else, stay away.
Stay away. That's
it becomes clear that the divorce we saw, we all now know, is a doubtful divorce. That's what the mayim does. It says, you know what? It's a doubtful divorce.
Yeah.
Stay out of this picture completely.
Yeah.
And stay away from her sister. Stay away from everybody. Till the first guy will give a divorce to the second sister. Then the other guy can go and marry her. Because now it's divorced.
Yeah.
But therefore, he's got to keep it be on his toes to know that there is a problem.